The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for our sermon today is James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, all good things come from God, and from God come only good things. This is a truth we are asked to hold before our minds and to cherish in our hearts on this Harvest Thanksgiving Day. It is not always easy to hold to that truth, to cling to it with all our might, to believe it steadfastly. It was not easy for the people in the days of St. James to believe that all good things come from God, and from God come only good things. They may have argued, just as we are accustomed to argue. How do you account for the presence of evil in this world? Is God the originator of evil? If so, then he is not kind and loving. If God is not the originator of evil, well, where does evil come from? Is there any creature capable of producing what God himself does not will? If so, then God is not almighty. In that way the argument ran then, and in that way it runs now. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, wrote St. James. Do not be deceived. Do not drift into dangerous confusion. He wrote in James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The apostle makes it plain that temptation to evil does not come from God. Evil events may indeed be permitted by God to prove and improve man, but the inclination of evil comes from within man himself and from the devil. St. James' insistence is this: every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. The truth we are to hold before our minds and cherish in our hearts is that all good things come from God, and from God come only good things. Thanks be to God. May the Lord bless the meditation. The first point is the Father of lights. We have in this Harvest Thanksgiving text a beautiful designation of God. He is the Father of lights. By Father is meant source, originator, and creator. Light is the emblem of goodness. God is the Father of all that is good. God is the Father of sunlight. God made that mighty mass of fiery gas, which, sending but a fraction of its light to our planet, sustains all earth life. For one unit of light mass sent to our Earth, astronomers tell us, 50,000 times that amount is sent elsewhere. Starlight too is sunlight. Every star is a sun. At least 100,000 stars or suns visible through a 1-inch telescope are brighter and larger than our sun or star. About 140,000 stars or suns match our sun in size. Over a million are less bright than our sun. Half a million much less bright. God made all of these, as we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16. Then God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God made the solar system with its nine planets, moons, asteroids, and comets revolving around our sun. He made the stellar system. He made the nebula. God set them all in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. God is also the Father of the light of life. The light of life is a higher kind of light than sunlight, and this also comes from God. We see it in animals. Life light makes the birds sing, the lambs frolic, and fills the air with the buzz of insect gladness. We see it in man. In him this life is of a more precious kind, which shall burn on forever. It shall never set. It shall blaze on after the great lights of heaven shall have been put out. God has created us with an immortal soul. He has breathed into us the breath of life, which lasts forever. We see it in the angels. Every angel is a flame of fire. Those who stand before God's throne are the brightest. They are the seraphim, the shining ones. And then God is also the Father of the light of truth. On the first day of creation, God made the light of sense. On the last day of creation, he made the light of reason. Reason gives us the light of knowledge. Every useful book which tells us the truth about nature or our own bodies and minds, our personalities, is a light from God. But the highest and best kind of truth is about God himself and about the way to him. We hear this light in the Bible, and so the Bible is called a light that shines in a dark place, for it tells us of Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who lived and died and lives again. Jesus is the light of the world, the dear Son of the Father of lights. In the Nicene Creed, termed light of light. God is also the Father of holiness light. This light comes from God the Holy Spirit, who, having called us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts and sanctifies us. No sooner does he touch our sin-blinded minds and our sin-darkened hearts than these begin to shine with the light of holiness. This new soul light will shine ever brighter unto the perfect day. All the lamps of grace are fed as well as kindled by the Father of lights. And God is also the Father of heavenly light. The home of God is full of light. In hell is all darkness. On earth there is mingled light and darkness. But in heaven there is only light. There shall be no night there, the scriptures tell us. God and the Lamb are the light of the city foursquare. And everything in heaven reflects this light. The jasper walls, the pearly gates, the golden streets, the crystal river, and the white robes. Grace light burns on earth in the children of light, but this blazes into glory light beyond the bounds of time and place. And all the holy light of heaven streams from him who is the Father of lights. In summary, in God is no darkness at all. Sin is darkness, hence it cannot proceed from God. God is the Father of light only. The second point mentioned in our text, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is not subject, as are the stars, to revolutions and changes. The so-called fixed stars are not fixed at all. Nothing in nature is stable. Every orb is on the wing. Some stars are so far away that they do not appear to move. For instance, two stars in the Great Dipper, one at either end, are flying in an opposite direction to that of the other five stars. But not before many years have passed will anyone be able to note much difference in their relative positions. In the case of the stars, there is variation. But with God, there can be no variation, literally no parallax. Parallax in astronomy denotes the apparent displacement of a star from its true position. But with the Father of lights, there can be no parallax, no real change of place or purpose. God is always in the meridian. With the Almighty, there is no shadow of turning. The Arabs had a bad name for one of the stars. They called it the Devil Star, or the Devil's Eye. It has a mischievous way of blinking. Over a three-night period, it changes from bright to semi-bright to almost dark, and then back to bright again. Astronomers today know what causes the binary star Algol, the old Devil Star, to blink. It is actually an eclipsing binary star. The two stars revolve around each other. As one flies around it and eventually in front of it, it causes a partial eclipse. A shadow is cast upon one by the other. But with God, there is no shadow of turning. He is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. His perfections and attributes are unchangeable. For instance, love was in his divine heart before there were creatures upon whom it might rest. Love is in that heart still, in the same measure. No changing from light to darkness and back again. No change from love to indifference or to hate. His glory is the same. This is why we sing each and every Sunday in the Gloria Patri. Glory to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. God's purposes are the same. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. It is his prerogative to say, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Saviour. There is none like him. So what a joyful source of thanksgiving for us to know God, who is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Thirdly, who comes down, from whom comes down every good and perfect gift. Our text says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. By good gifts, we understand all temporal blessings and providential mercies. By perfect gifts, we understand all spiritual gifts, gifts that prepare us for eternity. Today we are especially thanking God for good gifts, the harvest of the land. The word harvest occurs over 70 times in the Bible. The very first is that God has promised us in Genesis chapter 8 verse 22 that while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. The next major recording of harvest was when Joseph explained Pharaoh's dream, telling him that there would be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. In preparing for the years of famine, Joseph said to the people, indeed, I have brought you and your land this day for Pharaoh. Look, here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the harvest that you shall give one-fifth to Pharaoh. Four-fifths shall be your own, as seed for the field and for your food, and for those of your household, and as food for your little ones. So, 20% of the harvest went to Pharaoh for storage for the years of famine. In Exodus, we learn of three annual feasts observed by the children of Israel. One was the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labours which you have sown in the field. These are part of the ceremonial laws. We read in Exodus chapter 34, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In ploughing time and in harvest you shall rest. And you shall observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the feast of the ingathering at the year's end. 3 times in the year all your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. Like in the Old Testament for today, we read in Leviticus chapter 23 verse 10, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. The purpose of people bringing their best to God was to remind them that God was a giver and source of all their blessings. They were thank offerings. They were showing gratitude to God. We read in Psalm 107, verse 37, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. This reminds us of our epistle lesson for today. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. The word harvest is also used to refer to spiritual matters and gifts. We read in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest. This is a missionary text, The harvest refers to all the people in the world. They all need to hear the good news that Jesus Christ is their Saviour. The labourers are those teaching and preaching God's word. Harvest is also used referring to the great harvest at the end of the world when Christ returns. The perfect gifts include all that Jesus Christ has done to give us the free gift of eternal life. They include the word and the sacraments. They include our Lutheran heritage based on scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone. They include our Christian parents who first taught us about Jesus Christ. What is our response? The best answer is given in the meaning of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise, serve and obey him. So fourthly, thanks be to God. So let us recap our thanksgiving to God. Firstly, from God come only good things. The gift of his only begotten Son, the perfect Saviour. The means of grace, the visible word and the audible word. Peace by pardon. Reconciliation through the blood of the Lamb. Eternity in the heart. We read in John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. The assurance of heaven. Chastenings that serve to make us more chaste. Refinement in the furnace of affliction to find the Son of God there. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, who keeps us in the true faith. The privilege, as stewards of God, to serve him. Secondly, all good things come from God. Do not attribute any good to any other being except the triune God. Whatever blessing you have received or shall receive come from God. They include food and clothing, home and family, daily work, and all I need from day to day. Do not say, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. But rather, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And thirdly, our response should be to live sanctified lives as we strive to follow God's word at all times. Be regular in church attendance. We read in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Receive the sacraments of the altar regularly. Eat, drink, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. Cultivation of prayer life and family devotions. We read in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Sharing. We read in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Giving. We give as we have been blessed. We read in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. Witnessing for Christ. Personal evangelism. We read in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, that those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So our thanksgiving to God is to become thanksgiving. We're saved from sin to service, and faith works through love. We read in the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed in Luther's Small Catechism, at great cost, Jesus saved and redeemed me, freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil. All this he has done that I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him. So let us today thank God for the harvest, for both material and spiritual blessings. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.